Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation. And we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
You guys doing good tonight? Is anybody still just a little messed up from worship on the front end? Yeah. Messed up in a good way, not just like you're feeling bad, but anyone just feel like, man, I feel the presence of God in the room tonight. And this happens to me regularly in worship, but I just felt like the Lord was gripping my heart afresh on the front end. And so I'm so thankful for the team that led us because they really accomplished half of what I was hoping for tonight. And that was just that our hearts would cry out for more of God. And I don't know about you, but I didn't really want worship to end. So I'm glad that on our Mondays, we typically have them come back up because I'm ready to get back in to a place of praise and worship in the presence of God. He's just here in our midst. And I've said it almost every time that I share on a Monday night, but it's such a privilege to just be in the room with all of you. A room like this with collective hunger for Jesus. Don't let it become normal in your life. Don't get accustomed to the privilege it is on these Monday nights that we can come together with other like-minded, like-hearted followers of Jesus and simply pursue him with all of our hearts. There's something that happens when we come together in a place like this, in an atmosphere like this, where our hearts remember afresh, this is what I'm created for. I'm created to know God and to love him. I'm created to be in relationship where his presence is changing my heart, changing my life, and I get to respond with wholehearted love and devotion and worship. And so, man, don't let it get normal. Let God continue to ignite your heart with fire, to ignite your heart with a desire to know him. I wanted to change my message halfway through worship. I was like, Lord, we should just go intimacy tonight. This is good right here. I want to know you. Let your presence overwhelm me. Because I was thinking about a lot of what I'm going to talk about tonight, really what happened is when I tasted of the presence of God, everything changed in my life. And when I realized that he was even better than I thought and I experienced the goodness of his presence and his spirit and his love and who he was, so much in my life changed. And so tonight I was just remembering back to beginning days of following Jesus. And I was just getting, I don't know, maybe it was the jet lag too. I was in Belfast, Northern Ireland yesterday too. So it could have been that hunting me down, but I think it was mostly God that was just hunting my heart down afresh saying, Chase, I still love you that same way. I'm still after the same 19-year-old kid that didn't know who he was or what his life was about. And man, I just felt his love tonight. Anyone feeling his love tonight, his presence tonight? Maybe before I get going with some, I want to share a quick testimony or two, but just while we're in the place of what God was doing, I just want to take a moment because we're going to pray quite a bit together tonight. I'm going to teach, I'm going to share, but my real desire tonight is that we would grab a hold. I'm preaching to myself. I want to put myself in the crowd because what I'm talking about is not something new. It's something you'll hear tons of different views on. It's a vast subject when we talk about prayer, but I want to put myself out there. I want to preach to myself and to you tonight to stir up and remember how vital and how powerful a life of prayer can be. That we would never graduate like, oh yeah, I've done that a few years. I want to go on to the next thing. But that we would never stop growing in our desire and our love for a life of prayer and relationship with Jesus. So can we start this way? Can we just say, Lord, I want to know you tonight. Can we tell him in a simple prayer, like, Jesus, I want to experience you more tonight. I long to be touched by your presence tonight. I want your love to touch my heart afresh tonight. I just feel there's an invitation from God that he wants to meet with us tonight. So can we start? Just 30 seconds. This is raw. This is simple prayer. If you're new here, first time, just pray simple prayer. Like, man, I don't know, Lord, but somebody brought me. I'd love to know you more tonight. Whatever your simple prayer to Jesus is to know him more, I just want to take 30 seconds. Can we just ask Jesus, would you reveal yourself tonight? Would you show me your presence tonight? Let's go for it. Lord, we just want to know you tonight, Lord. We're just asking that you would reveal yourself tonight, Jesus. We long for your presence, God. We long to know you, Lord. We long to see your kingdom come, Jesus. We long to see you break through in a place of prayer, Lord. We're asking that you would come tonight. We're going to go one more round. We're going to go one more round. And this time, I want you to pretend like nobody's around you. We'll do it again at the end of the night. Don't worry. But I want to pretend like nobody's next to you. And I want you to pray like God was about to answer your prayer right now. Like he was about to walk in that door. If you're like, Jesus, I want to experience you. I just want you to, we're going to go one more round. Before you get the word, the revelation moment, we're going to have a moment. Let our hunger out. Lord, I want to know you. 30 more seconds. Here we go. Lord, we just ask tonight, would you pour out your presence in our midst? God, we're asking, Lord, that you would meet with us tonight. We're longing to know you tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It's awesome. All right, we're going to get back to prayer in a minute. So I am, not only am I getting touched by the presence of God in worship, I'm also in a typical Chase mood, which is a really good mood. I got good news of great joy tonight. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the gospel expanding. And I just got back last night from Belfast, Northern Ireland. I was there with a Circuit Rider team that was leading worship at an event called The Send in Northern Ireland. It was a national gathering for Northern Ireland. Has anybody ever been to a Send gathering? Raise your hand. Who here would know what a Send gathering is? If you hear the Send, how many of you guys are like, I'm not sure what you're talking about? Okay, picture a mass gathering about worship and missions and every individual believer getting activated in their missional calling. But it's like a large mass gathering. So we've been doing this for about 6 or 7 years, and this is the first national gathering in Northern Ireland. And me and the team flew over there Thursday, got there Friday, but the gathering was Saturday. It's all day. It's a 9-hour event, 1 p.m. to like 10 p.m., 8-9 hours. And this was just on Saturday. Just want to encourage you a little bit. I felt coming back. I've got an encouraging report. Can I encourage you today? That on Saturday, in a nation of, I think it's under 2 million people, over 4,000 people gathered for over 8.5 hours to worship, to pray, and to say yes to their assignment in the Great Commission. From that 4,000, there was a call to the nations, and there was over 500 commitments to reach the nations of the earth and to give a part of their life as a missional expression of the gospel. 500? I said 500. That's right. Somebody got excited right there. I don't know. It's not every day I get to see 500 young people say yes to take the gospel to the nations. I'm feeling good about it today. And I also want to give a major shout out to the CR band. It was so fun. Like, don't you just love it when your friends are amazing? I feel like I have amazing friends. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. We've had a few songs lately that have gone viral. This one about following Jesus that Eniola sings, about lacing up your boots, putting on your backpack. We've got Blue Shirt Girl in the house tonight. But I was like, man, maybe this is like an American trend. This is an American thing that's happening. I don't know. Is it just like, is this the language that's hitting here? I was so stunned. Eniola leads the song, I'll Follow Jesus. It's exploding. This is after the nation's call. It's going crazy. And then we'd already done the shoe moment. We take off our shoes to say yes to Jesus. And she's like, all right, guys, we're going to sing this thing we've been doing where I'm from in Southern California. We're going to lace up your boots. I'm like, man, I don't know if anyone's going to know this. What's going to happen? As soon as she starts, like, it's like the arena went crazy or exploded. It was like there was a young generation waiting for the permission slip to get activated, saying, I want to lace up my boots, put on my backpack. I'm ready to ride and follow Jesus with all of my heart. The room exploded. And I know it's a fun, simple chorus, but for me, it's much more than that. It's fresh language for a generation to be able to say to Jesus, I want to give you what I have and follow you with all of my heart because you're worth it. And so I got to watch thousands of young people in Northern Ireland. I was just so proud of my friends. Like, man, look at them go writing these songs. So can we give some love to CR Music and our friends over there? I just love them. I'm proud of them. They're all so cool, man. This Brandon up there on the bass, the drums, man. Anybody here, like a non-musician, do you ever get in that moment, like, man, I wish I was up there, bam, just doing that thing. It's fun to have cool friends. It's just me. All right. One more thing that happened. The power of God broke out. there was a time where we set aside like 15, 20 minutes to go after God moving in miraculous power and healings. And a fellow circuit rider, Iggy, who helped Event Direct for the Send. Can we give some love for Iggy if you're watching? We love you, Iggy. She does the work of 100 people. But I texted her. I said, hey, was there any stories about what God did from the whole day? And she said one of the main things was the amount of healings that happened. Healings of migraines, pain in backs, knees, shoulders, multiple sports injuries that were healed. But check this out. Several people surprised to see prayer actually work. Wow. And pain actually leave instantly. Wow. Wow. Have you ever prayed for something outlandish or ridiculous only to see God do it and then be stunned? Have you ever been like, Lord, just pray, like that lost family, they've been lost for so long, but I'm in faith tonight. I feel it tonight. The goosebumps are there too. They're backing me up. God's going to, Lord, I pray for salvation. And then all of a sudden that week you're in a conversation. They're like, actually, I really want to follow Jesus. And then instead of your first reaction being like, yeah, that's right, I've been praying. Amen. God did it. You're like, really? Yeah. No, have you ever done it like, man, you got somebody, you're praying for them to be healed. They've got an injury. They've got a sickness that can't be healed. And all of a sudden, they're like, wow, the fire of God just hit me. I'm totally different. I'm changed. And our first reaction sometimes isn't always like, man, let's go. Thank you. It could be like, whoa, for real? Yeah. Is there anybody that is normal like me that when you pray sometimes, even outlandish prayers, and then God does them, you're like, wow, how did that happen? Can you connect that a little bit? Well, when I was thinking about even this day, it didn't start with this day. It started with a moment before the day got going. There was an hour where leaders from all over the nation, all generations, old, young, somewhat seasoned, had gathered to pray for God to pour out his spirit on that 9-hour day. And Nick made this noise. There was Nick. It was so fun. He's like, man, you just know it's going to be a good day when that many older leaders are unified in prayer and they're mostly in tears. And they're believing for a move of God for their nation. And that wasn't the only prayer time. You could tell those tears were there because they had prayed, they had had lives of prayer believing for a move of God in their nation. So when it gets to the day, though, I'll remember this, I'll never forget this. It was during the Circuit Rider worship set. One of those older leaders, the guy was awesome. He was our driver, Tomas. Shout out if you ever watched this. We love you. But he comes up behind me because the day steadily broke through, and during the Circuit Rider worship set, it was like the whole place was caught up in a revelation of Jesus. It was like a beautiful moment. He runs up behind me and grabs me. He says, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. It's like something he had been believing for years. He got a glimpse of fruit of his prayer life. But it's like he was stunned and amazed that God was really doing it. Tonight, if you're going to get anything from me, you're going to get an unction, because I'm preaching to myself. You're going to get a desire that you would lean in prayer, both personally and with your friends, believing for more breakthrough than you ever have before. The fact that we're going to have less meetings like this on Monday night doesn't mean that we're taking a break from pursuing Jesus. Just because the schedule changes or things look different and we've got less scheduled greenhouse prayer sets doesn't mean that God is out of the business of wanting to move in Southern California or in our midst or in Circuit Riders. I don't think it's that he wants to take a break. I think he wants to take us deeper. I think it's a God design for this summer that he is looking for hearts that are truly hungry and truly believe that they'll find him in secret, because when you find him in secret, he will reward you. There's not a question of if. There's not a question of if it's going to happen. No, if you seek him in secret, you will find him. So tonight, I want you to ask the question, do I believe that prayer works? Because there's times in my life, guys, where I could say, yeah, man, I was into it, man. I believed it. But there's also been seasons. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, and maybe you got disappointed that a few of those prayers didn't get answered. Maybe you got discouraged that you had pressed in and believed for a lost family member or somebody to be healed, and they didn't get healed, and they didn't get saved yet. Or you've been praying for a revival in your high school, and you graduated, and you barely saw any fruit. Or maybe you're in university. It's been a year, and you're like, I haven't found one Christian friend. Or maybe at your workplace, you're the only believer, and you're like longing for God to bring one believer, and he brings more lost people that just got fired the next round. So maybe you've been in that moment where you feel like, I haven't seen it, And maybe your prayer life has began to wane. Wherever you're at, whether you're burning in the place of prayer, whether it's waning, or whether you came here with a friend, you're like, what's a prayer life? Tonight's the night for you, okay? Here we go. Turn with me, if you brought your Bible, to Acts chapter 12. I have a lot of favorite stories in Scripture about prayer. I've preached a few of them with you guys. This one I haven't preached before. But some of my favorite stories are when the radical happens. I don't know about you, but I love the drama. I love the scenes where we see God move in the miraculous. So this is one of my favorite stories. Here we go. Chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. Okay, so context. At this point in the journey of Acts, the church has been growing radically. It's been experiencing the power of God. It's been seeing signs, wonders, miracles. The gospel is advancing. Both Jews and Gentiles are being saved at this point. It's going crazy. But there's a new Herod that's come to leadership, and he realizes that the Jews don't want followers of Jesus to keep expanding and growing. That Pharisees specifically, he wants to please those guys. So he kills one of the apostles. He kills James, right, with a sword. And then Peter, who would have been the known leader of the church at that time, he throws him in prison, probably to do the same thing. How many of you guys know that this is a dire moment for the church? This is a moment where things aren't looking the best. Things are actually looking pretty grim. They've been there before. Their own Lord had been crucified. So like, man, we lost James. Now Peter's in prison. What do we do? Have you ever been in a situation personally or something where it's like you just got overwhelmed? It doesn't even have to be this extreme. It could be like, man, I just got overwhelmed. What should I eat for breakfast? I'm at my favorite shop. What do I order? Have you ever gotten to a place where you just get overwhelmed, though, with what's happening in your life? Finances are low. What do I do? Yeah, family strife. Man, I'm discouraged. Have you ever been in a place where you got discouraged about the circumstance of what was going on? When he had seized him, verse 4, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. Now, before I do this next verse, it's going to set the whole thing. Four squads of soldiers to guard him. Why four squads? Four squads was four sets of four soldiers. And in Roman culture, the reason they did that is four soldiers would take 3 hours at a time for the 12-hour watch of the night. So these were trained soldiers. They didn't miss an hour. They didn't miss a minute. It was like 3 hours those four guys were on. They go to sleep, next four are up. So you got to know that Peter is under strict guard of soldiers that if they mess up, you'll find out later, there's really serious consequences, okay? So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. So this is the scene that Luke wants to write. Now, it's a fascinating chapter because it comes before the story of like where Paul's starting to expand and taking the gospel everywhere. But he inserts this here because I think Luke wants us to catch, man, there's something that happens in the storyline that he wants us to catch on how the church was advancing. Peter was in prison, but earnest prayer was made to God by the church. Dire situation. One had been killed. Now Peter in prison, about to go on trial after the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's about to go on trial, likely to be killed as well. Does the church get overwhelmed? Does the church get paralyzed in fear? Does the church say, oh man, what do we do? We're just going to get compassionate. Man, I feel bad for you, Peter. It's over, dude. You gave it a good run. We appreciate it. No, there was something in the lifeblood of the church where there wasn't a situation that was too far out of the hand of God's reach. There was something in the lifeblood of the church where they said, he may be in prison on the edge of death, but there's something we can do. We can pray. Prayer's not just a religious activity that I'm supposed to do. Prayer is something that could reach into Peter's situation and transform it. Prayer is something that can actually alter where things are going and change the outcome. Sometimes I think a lot of things that we're going through, God is just waiting for us to call to him and believe that he's the one that could bring the breakthrough. Sometimes we're in these situations over and over and over again because maybe we haven't given ourselves to a life of fervent, earnest prayer. It doesn't say prayer. It says earnest prayer. We'll come back to that. Okay, can we keep going? Now, when Herod was about to bring him out that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. I mean, the very guy that's getting delivered out of prison thinks this is so outlandish, this must be a vision. Sometimes it's hard to believe the radical prayers that God wants to actually answer. Peter thinks this is probably it. Man, this is the same time as when Jesus, around the same time as when Jesus was crucified, around Passover. He's probably thinking, man, Jesus told me, man, there's going to be a day where they're going to dress you. I'm going to go where I don't want to go. This is probably the moment where my life is over. He had seen the writing on the wall. So he's thinking, I'm seeing a vision right now. It's too good to be true. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Well, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. Were many, everyone say many, everyone say many, were gathered together and were, what were they doing? Were they in sorrow that it was over? Had they given up? Did it look too bleak? I know this is obvious, guys, but I think it's so often that we get distracted or we get taken off of track from the breakthroughs that God wants to bring. And he's just looking for a fervent prayer that won't quit. What do we find? They were together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda, love Rhoda in the story, came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, she's stoked. In her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. Okay, put yourself in the scene as Peter. "It's me. Hello. Anybody in there?" You got Rhoda. "What? That's Peter. Prayers worked. Can you let me in? Prayers worked. Dudes, guys, everybody listen. Peter's out there, man. Can you believe it? He's there. Can you picture Peter right there? Let me in. They're looking for me. Probably going to kill me if they find me." Rhoda, "Prayer works. Let's go." But what's the response of the praying church? Are they going to be like, "Rhoda, that's awesome. We believe you." What do they say? They said to her, "You are out of your mind. God do a miracle? Of this level? I mean, that's as crazy as somebody rising from the dead and our whole life being based on that miracle. You think God actually did that? The very thing they were leaning in for, that God was doing. They're like, I don't know. Come on, be honest. If you're like me, man, I'm believing for like a healing revival in our generation. I want to see. I've been knocking on the door with friends for years. I feel like we've seen glimpses and tastes of it. But whenever it starts to happen, I find this subtle unbelief, it still lingers in my heart. I'll never forget the day Christy got healed of Lyme disease. We prayed for like so many years, and her family had prayed for decades more. And then the day it actually happens, there was something in my heart. I was celebrating. You better believe I'm celebrating. But there's also something in my heart that was kind of like, ah, for real? Is this? No way. You mean God answered 37 years of prayer? And it's like this subtle unbelief had a hard time believing that God would do what he said he would do. Isn't that so common for us that when we're praying for these big things, when they start to happen, man, that subtle unbelief still gets revealed, doesn't it? They said to her, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting, come on, Rhoda, tell them the truth. No, dudes, he's out there. He heard your prayer. Like, he's outside. Peter, please let me in. But she kept insisting it was so, and they kept saying, oh, no. Everyone say, oh, no. It's his angel. First, you're out of your mind. Second, we make up a lesser thing of what it might be. Did that really happen? Now, I'm not here to discuss, you know, what angels look like and why would it look like Peter and all this. I'm not here to get into that side of things right here. But they expected, like, oh, man, maybe an angel showed up. Probably looks like him. Rhoda, we know you're wild for God. That's why you came in running in joy. You're believing every prayer is going to get, every prayer meeting's got a Rhoda. Believes every time we prayed, it happened. Revival in Southern California. I saw it in my mind, and I saw it in my mind. Rhoda's just excited. You're out of your mind. It must be just his angel, right? But no, for real. God answered the prayer. We've been praying fervently, potentially for days. God did it. He did the miracle. Praise God for Peter's persistence here. But Peter continued knocking. You better believe he continued knocking. Because if they found him, he probably was dead. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Amazed by the very thing that they had been asking for. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, tell these things to James and to the brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. A few more things I'm going to say about this story. But isn't it amazing when you pray and you contend and you go for something and you finally get that breakthrough? And even though it might take a minute for our heart to catch up, once we actually realize God has answered a fervent prayer, isn't it something that just blows your mind away? Has anybody ever experienced that? I remember when I first got born again, saved, filled with the Spirit, which one of my biggest prayers was to know the Holy Spirit. He answered that. One of my biggest prayers was that my dad would have an encounter with Jesus. Me and my dad had a decent relationship, but we weren't super close. And there had been some things we walked through that had made us not super, super close. And I remember I started praying because I felt the Lord asked me, like, man, this is one of your prayer assignments. You got to start believing that I'm going to meet your dad. I'm going to touch his life. I'm going to transform his heart. My parents were split up. He had gone through some really challenging stuff. And so, but I started praying, Lord, I just pray you'd save my dad. Just meet with him. Just do something. Pour out your presence. Let him experience you. And I feel like we'd have these conversations. I'd go for it, try to share Jesus, kind of go good, kind of not go good. And kept going, praying. And then after a few years, I started to not pray as much. And when I started to see things like, I don't know if it's really going to do much. I feel like I'm not seeing the fruit of prayer right now. Does prayer really do what I think it does? It opened a prison door for Peter, but I feel like it's not working to touch my dad's heart and life. Like, what? There's a disconnect right now in my own heart and experience is what I felt like. And so my fervent prayer started to dip. And I started to get discouraged. Like, man, maybe I should just put that on the shelf and just, I'll start praying for something else. A few years go by, and I had this little app that would put daily prayers I wanted to pray on there. And that was one of the two that was an everyday one. comes back up. Would you pray this? So I'm praying it again because I love my dad. I'm like, all right, you know, like, maybe he'll do it. Maybe he'll do it. Lord, would you invade his life? A couple years go by. I don't do it every day, but I do it pretty consistently. And still no noticeable transformative breakthrough. Wayne's comes back. Like, man, I'm going to really start praying. I'm married now. I got some agreement. Maybe God hears Lindy's prayers more. Pray this with me, Lindy. Here we go. Fervency. Man, nothing's still breaking through yet. What's happening? It's probably 16 years of somewhat fervent, somewhat not. But something I feel the Lord put on my heart by his mercy. I waned. I was imperfect. I didn't do it all right. But I read a story about a guy named Thomas Mueller who prayed for 5 unsaved friends his whole life. One took a few years to get saved. One took 6. One took like 12. And then 2 after he died got saved. But he prayed every day for him. So it inspired me. Keep praying. And it was Thanksgiving about 2 years ago. My dad came out to visit my fam. It was just another normal trip of him coming to see the fam and the grandkids, everything. And it was the last night he was here. And I felt the Lord tug on my heart. You need to share the gospel. Go Billy Graham on him. I was like, come on, Lord. That is so awkward. I will share the gospel with anybody in Southern California. But my dad, come on, man. Because those family relationships, right, it can be awkward. It can be, this is going to have ramifications. Because guess what? Tomorrow's still my dad if it doesn't go good. Still at my house. Still going to call. So how's this going to work, right? I feel that tug from the Holy Spirit. Just go for it. So I do. We have a real honest conversation. I give my best gospel moment, which he grew up in the church. He knew Jesus. He knew the gospel. But I go for it. And I'm like, Dad, is this something that you would like really just want to like know that you're in a great relationship with Jesus? And he pauses for a second. And man, that pause just felt like 5 years. But then what I felt in that pause, it felt like 5 years and a lot of tension, I felt like a flood of years of prayer start to crash in the room. And I knew that my dad's heart had softened. And I knew that, man, he had finally had a moment, an opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus and have a fresh surrender to Jesus. And there in my living room, just me and my dad, a secret prayer of mine for years, I'm watching him encounter the love of Jesus. And saying, Chase, I would love that. I'd love to pray with you tonight. And it marked me because I had gone through so many years of unbelief believing that God would answer a prayer. And I feel like I had wasted so many minutes and hours in unbelief because I hadn't seen it as fast as I wanted to. And in that moment, this one moment crashes in. I love the moment. But what marked me more is like, man, Lord, you really can answer prayer from a simple, broken person like me. Wasn't always getting it right. It wasn't always fervent, but man, when it locked in, I'm telling you could feel that fervent prayer at the back, that they had made a way and God was moving in power. He surrendered his life to Jesus and we've been doing good ever since. Amen. But I share that vulnerably, I share that transparently because it may not be a family member, it may be something you're personally going through. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been crying out for a touch from the presence and love of God, and you feel like you've never experienced it. Can I tell you, don't give up crying out to Jesus. Don't stop longing for a touch of his presence and a touch of his love. I longed for that for 19 years, and when I actually got desperate, I actually gave an earnest prayer, not a pretty prayer. The pretty prayers were gone at 19, and I had the weight of my sin on my shoulders, and I realized I need a touch from God. I said, Lord, I'll confess anything. I'll tell you anything I've ever done, Lord. If I could just know you, if I could just experience your love, I'm in for it. And the pretty prayers were gone, and it was time for an earnest prayer of like, Jesus, please forgive me. Please love me. Please set me free. Please, I want to know you. It was like everything changed because he answered an earnest prayer. So if you're here tonight, you're like, man, I might not even be ready to pray for somebody who's lost a friend or a family member that's stuck in the prison of sin. I still feel stuck, Chase. I need a breakthrough. Let me tell you, prayer is your simple access point to God tonight. Prayer is your communication. It's your petition to him, and he is available to you tonight. But maybe you're here like, Chase, I'm saved. In fact, my family's on fire. My friends are on fire. I live in a big blue house, and we all love Jesus. That was a shout out for the Evangeline guys. Maybe those things are going good, but do you have a fervent prayer? Do you have something where you are longing to see God break through in a situation that you're not seeing right now? Have we become satisfied, or is there something that God's pulling on saying, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Orange County. There's a move of God that I don't want you to stop knocking on the door. This is the first fruits. Monday night's what you're seeing right now. It's just a taste, Circuit Riders. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit this summer. Would you grab a hold of it and believe that this is just the beginning? Is there a fervent prayer that even though, I love the Barna stats. You know, our generation starting, it's like plateauing. It's not declining anymore. Like, there's a lot of people that are turning to Jesus. It's happening all over the earth, too. I mean, sorry, I'm going back in a storyline. I heard the story of an Irish kid who started a Bible study with two other friends, three kids, in less than a year, over 60 to 70 young men were gathering in his living room just to study the Bible. Simple. No. It's happening. But I'm telling you, just because it's plateauing, let's not settle there. No, there's a generation in prison. The percentages aren't good enough to me. I don't know about you, but the percentages of those who know and follow Jesus, I can't be satisfied. There's a fervent prayer in my heart that says, set them free, Lord. No, for real, think about it. There are so many young souls. Let's just go after the young generation in Orange County. There are so many young souls that are so lost in what our world is offering them. So lost in addiction, so lost with no identity, so lost in pornography, so lost in you name it. They're so lost, right? There's a fervent prayer that I think God is looking for his people to pray that just might unlock the wildest outpouring we could ever dream of. I feel like I got a lot of guys over here with me. You guys with me over here? We have been praying for revival in Orange County on every Thursday night greenhouse for like the last year and a half. And I really do feel like we're seeing first fruits. I feel like we're seeing God moving. Like, I get so stoked. I get so thankful. But there's something, you ever have like that picture in your mind? It's like, Lord, I know there's a more. I know there's something you want to do. And I just want to gather with my friends and pray. And so when the summer was coming, I remember thinking like, man, Lord, like, I feel like greenhouse has been so fun. What's happening? We have so few sets. And my first reaction was like, oh, Lord, why? And I feel like the Lord challenged me. He said, Chase, do you think you got to be in a big corporate room for me to move heaven to earth? Don't you remember where the reward is at, son? Did you get too addicted to the corporate that I had to take that away for a second to remind you my Matthew 6 principle that those who close their door, who seek me in secret, I will reward them? You don't have to pray a bunch of prayers. Pray a simple prayer. I will reward you. If you would gather in a house like Mary's in Acts 12 and pray with your friends that I would set the captive free, nobody might know your name. It might not be in a live stream. It might not be in a social media clip. You might not become famous. But when God hears your fervent prayer alone and with your friends in secret, get ready. There is a reward for those who earnestly seek him. There is a reward. And you know what your greatest reward is? God. The thing I think I'm most excited about this summer, have a few less corporate gatherings to go to. I'm like, oh man, I got more time to see God. What are you gonna seek him for? Him. I get God. And after I get God, me and my friends and my family, I believe we have an opportunity this summer to go somewhere in secret that when we come back together in a greater corporate way, get ready. I think we have an opportunity this summer if we would grab a hold of the power of prayer, that prayer actually works, that God hears it when we come to him in earnest. It's not about a personality or a microphone or a platform, but when you come to him in earnest and you just share honestly your needs and your desire and what God has put on your heart, he will hear the prayer of the earnest. It doesn't say he's going to necessarily hear the prayer of the prophet alone or the apostle alone or the evangelist alone or the teacher alone. No, he hears the prayer of the earnest follower of Jesus. I'm just trying to pull you tonight. I just feel like I'm preaching to myself right now. Like, I want to go to a greater place of earnest prayer with God. I don't want to settle on previous victories. I don't want to settle on where I'm at right now. I want to look forward and say, Jesus, what would you have for me this summer in the place of finding you in prayer and seeing your kingdom advance in prayer? If there's something you could do through my little life, let's go. So in just a minute, we're going to respond very practically before we go back into worship. I'm going to finish the story. But we're going to respond just so you can have some time to prep, just so you know you're like, you're going to get into a real prayer meeting right now. Because I figured we can't talk about prayer and not have a prayer meeting. I feel like that would rob us of the whole moment if we read this story and we say, man, that's encouraging. Peter got set free. What a great night. No, I feel like we got to take the truth of Scripture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who does this, he's still alive today. He's ready to move in our midst. Whether it's in your personal life, your friend's life, or you're dreaming for something crazy, we're going to go after prayer in just a minute. But here, let's finish the story. Now, when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries in order that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now, Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took a seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. But the word of God increased and multiplied. On the tail end of fervent prayer, there is salvation. There is an evil king and kingdom that begins to come down, and the word of God begins to multiply and increase. Do we know many people's names at this house church? We know Rhoda, right? Maybe you'll get in there if you're excited, Rhoda, believing every single time. God answered. There he is. Servant girl Rhoda, let's go. We got anybody that wants to be Rhoda in the storyline? Latanya, you're Rhoda tonight. The word of God increased and multiplied. The ultimate fruit of fervent prayer when the church comes together. There's individual, but when the church comes together, the ultimate fruit of fervent prayer is that the word of God multiplies in our midst. Disciples are made. Followers of Jesus are made. Can you stand to your feet? Band, you guys can come back up. You don't have to play yet. We're going to have a prayer meeting right now. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm a pretty practical person. I also love a training environment. So here's what I want you to do is I want you to picture your personal place of prayer and your bedroom at home, your apartment, dorm, wherever you live. I want you to picture like your personal place of prayer right now, okay? And I want you to set your sights on this summer. What is one thing that you are going to fervently pray for and believe for breakthrough? And I want you to write it in your phone right now, write it in a journal, write it on something. What's one thing you want to believe fervently for breakthrough in your personal life this summer? Think if you had 90 days to pray something personally, what's one thing that you want breakthrough in your life? And I want you to write it down. Okay, we're going to do one more thing before we start our prayer meeting. Now I want you to think of one thing. Not for you. I want you to think of one thing. What is one thing that would be a miracle and outlandish if God was to do it in your life and around your life? Revival in your workplace, at your school, would it look like, man, I would love to see my friend group double in size because some of our lost friends are getting saved. I want you to think of one outlandish thing of the kingdom of God advancing in your life around you. Not just you, but around you. What is one outlandish thing that you are believing for? That it would take a miracle for God to answer the prayer. It would take God doing a miracle like he did for Peter. What is one thing that you would be willing to pray in faith outlandishly over the next 90 days, believing for God to break through? I'll give you a moment to think about it. Okay, here's what I want you to do then. We're going to get groups of three all around the room right now. Groups of three all around the room. We're going to have many prayer meetings all across the room. I'm going to show you the simplicity of this. Before you start, just get in your groups of three. If you don't know them, say hi. All right, hold on real quick. Hold on. That's good. That's good. All right. All right, let me get your attention really quick. I know you guys are ready to pray. You're excited to pray. I feel that. And here's what we're going to do for those willing. That thing that you are praying for personal breakthrough, and if you're willing to share, it's a comfortable thing to share with two other people. I want you to go for it. You're going to say, I am believing for this. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to have a fervent prayer, and the two friends with you are just going to agree with you. Here's how you can, I just show you, if you've never done an agreement prayer like this, you can just say, yeah. Do it, God. Amen. Why? Sometimes verbal agreement, guys, I know this is so basic, but verbal agreement in a simple prayer meeting will stir faith in your prayer meeting. It will also let that person know that's praying that you're not just thinking about your prayer coming next. Okay? It shows that you're caring about the person who's praying and you're standing in agreement with them. Like, man, they need a breakthrough. I'm praying with them right now. They feel like they're in prison to this sin. I'm praying with them. Lord, get them out. Whatever it is, we're going to have the next probably 2 minutes. Each person, what you're praying for over the next few months for breakthrough, those friends right next to you are going to agree in prayer. This is the first strike on it. Does that sound good? Once that first person gets done, I want the next person to share, and then you pray, and the others agree with you. Till all three have gone. We're going to take the next 2 minutes. This is a live prayer meeting, right? Don't worry. We're going to get back to worship. I can know some of you already. But next 2 minutes, personal breakthrough prayer. Go for it. Keep going. This is so good. Keep going. This is amazing. And once all three of you have prayed, can I get some hands up? Give me a wave once all three of you guys have prayed so I can just get an idea where you're at. How many of you guys want like one more minute? Give me a wave if you want another minute. Okay, this is your last minute. Quick, focused prayers. Full of faith, but simple prayers. Okay, let me get your attention real quick. Let me get your attention. I know you're in a good prayer meeting right now, and I'm interrupting it. Let me get your attention, though, really quick. It's amazing. Okay, why are we doing this? Because I want us to see how simple it is to pray with our friends, and I also want us to see how much breakthrough we're going to experience when we do simple prayer meetings. But here's what I want you to do. Okay, is there somebody that would be willing to share what their breakthrough that they're believing for is with me? We're going to share it publicly with the whole room. I'm going to show you what we're going to do next. So is there somebody that's willing to share the breakthrough that they're believing for them personally? Come share it with me. I want to show you what we're going to do next. So is there any willing, any volunteers? Like, yeah, come on up, bro. What's your name? Okay, this is Thomas, right? Okay, Thomas, share the breakthrough you're believing for.
The breakthrough that we're believing for and that we're praying for is revival. And not only revival, but that we would have the passion to share the gospel. So when people are yearning for something, they're hungry and they can't find in their flesh, that we would come with that message of the love of Jesus and that they would listen to, and there would be change all over.
Okay, now that sounds like a Bible prayer like Acts 4. When they got out of prison, like, Lord, give us more boldness to preach the gospel. Does that sound right? Okay, so here's what you're going to do. Instead of Thomas praying this time, somebody else, I'm going to pray on his behalf in agreement. Okay? So I'm going to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for Thomas and his friends to see revival, God, that you would grant them great boldness to preach the gospel in the name of Jesus, that their hearts would be lit on fire with your love and your word. And it's like they couldn't stop talking about Jesus and the good news of who you are, Lord. Give them great boldness in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, now, all right, we're having fun now. Prayer meeting's picking up some fire. Here we go. I want you to pray, though, earnest. I don't lift my voice for no reason. Go ahead. You can go back down, man. Give it up for Thomas. Earnest prayer isn't dictated by volume. It's by your whole heart and mind being engaged in the prayer. Sometimes if you're like me, volume helps because that's how I lock in my whole mind and heart. It helps me get into the moment. So I want you to pray as if your life depended. I want you to pray fervently and earnestly for that other person's breakthrough for the next 2 minutes. Can we do that, groups of three? All right, you got two more minutes. Fervent breakthrough. Fervent prayer for that person's breakthrough. Okay, one more minute. Keep going. One more minute. Okay. Okay, let me get your attention. How many of you guys, I interrupted your prayer meeting? How many of you guys had already, everybody, how many guys are like, I kind of want to just finish praying, Chase. I wish you hadn't interrupted me. Okay. Prayer works. Prayer is also really fun with your friends. Okay, now, here's the deal. We're going to come back together, okay? Now we're going to have fervent prayer all together as a crew. Okay? We're going to do one more prayer, and then we're going to respond. We're going to seal the prayer time because we're going to worship Jesus with our friends again. Does that sound good? Okay. Come back together. I want us to pray two things, though. It's something that I really believe that God wants to do. I want us to pray that our homes would become revival centers. So we're going to give an earnest prayer. We got two prayers. Okay, two prayers. And then my last one, I always have a bonus, guys. My last prayer, we're going to do all together and cry out for the Spirit of God to get poured out all summer long. But first prayer, we're praying for our homes to become revival centers. That our homes become places of worship, of prayer, of pursuit of Jesus and the Word. That our homes become places where we would find and experience Jesus. I'm telling you, my two most powerful encounters came in a home with very few people around. So we want to pray that our homes become revival centers where God's presence meets us all summer long. So for the next 30 seconds, nobody left out, whether you're new, been here for years, we're just going to lift our voice and pray. What does it look like? Just ask God, Lord, make my home a place where your presence can dwell. Make my home a revival center. Make it a place where I know you in the Word and in prayer and in freedom and in intercession. Make my home a place of revival. Okay. So for the next 30 seconds, let's lift our voice and pray that our homes would become revival centers this summer. Let's go ahead and lift our voices. Let's pray.
Lord, we're asking tonight, God, Lord, that you would make our homes centers of your presence, centers of revival, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
All right, that's so good. Second prayer, we're doing this all together. Some of you guys are in groups, I like it. We're doing this one all together. Some of you are like, no, I like my group of three. Power to you. Okay, celebration right here. Okay, this next prayer we're gonna do all together is we just wanna pray in agreement as friends that our personal secret place would be a place of encounter and that God would give us a gift of hunger to seek him in the word and in prayer. Not by feeling, but by faith, that we would be given a gift of hunger. Not out of performance or, oh, we're supposed to, but because we've tasted of his love, we've tasted of his goodness. Lord, I'm running to the secret place because I get the reward of you. So, Lord, remind my heart, give my heart fresh hunger this summer to discover you and find you like never before. Let's do that prayer, and then I got one last bonus. Ready? Go for it for 30 seconds. Lord, we're asking tonight, God, give us the gift of hunger. Lord, come meet us in secret, Lord. All right, that was good. Okay, one more prayer. I think we all agree on this one. Can we lift our voices? I'm not gonna put a time on it. We're just gonna lift our voices. We wanna believe for revival in Orange County. We want Jesus, what do I mean? We want Jesus to get glory. We wanna see our young generation saved like never before. We wanna see our young generation set free like never before. We wanna see power, signs, wonders, miracles, healing, confirming the gospel. We want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Orange County and in Southern California. So as long as you can muster an earnest prayer, I want you to pray an earnest prayer that God would pour out revival and pour out his Spirit in Orange County. Can we do that? Come on, let's lift our voice. Lord, we're asking tonight. We're asking for an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord.
Lord, here in Costa Mesa, Lord, Huntington Beach, God, all over Orange County, Jesus. Holy Spirit, be poured out in our midst, God. Jesus, we want you, Lord. We want your Spirit in our midst, God. Lord. Come on, lift your voice one more minute. Lift your voice. Lord, we're asking tonight, Jesus. We're coming with all of our hearts, God. Pour out your Spirit in our midst, God.
So good. Now remember, it doesn't stop tonight. Your home, your car, can make any place a place to fervently pray and seek the Lord this summer. I feel like that's part of what God's going to be doing this whole summer on these Monday nights in homes. It's going to be places where we can go deep in the place of fervent prayer.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.